knee, hip or back pain? We can help at the Good Feet Store, Katara.
Live from the greatest city in the world, this is Tanya and Steve.
We get up, we get dressed, waking up, Newcastle's best, live and free, Triple M.
Late night shopping day.
Oh, I tell you, that's what's got me pumped.
How are you?
Bloody all right.
Good, Rosie?
Yeah, good. Can't wait to go to Charlestown Square tonight.
hang out with the lads.
Yeah. Hang out with the lads in the food court.
I just hope my midriff top has dried by then. It's on the line, as we do every Thursday. Rosie and I down there waiting for you to turn up.
Hey.
So we can go to the food court.
Apparently there is activity in the night sky, even though the sun has practically come up.
You should run outside with the phone and look for it.
Well, it looks cloudy from this angle, looking north. Shut up. But I believe on the other side you were saying, Rise, the building, it's clear, looking south.
Looks pretty clear, So
did anybody see anything? Because apparently it was spectacular.
What is it?
A meteor shower.
A meteor shower.
Orionids.
Some lights through the sky or something like that.
Yeah.
What is it?
Orionids.
Oh, Orionids, yeah.
If you saw it this morning, 4942 1029, give us a call.
It's a little tip, mate, even though you try to do a little fade-off at the end and say it lowly, we still heard you. Yeah,
Orionids.
Yeah, I do that. It's like, what's that called again? I said, hang on. Anyway, I can't see a thing.
Okay. All right. I never know which way to go with photos. Which way do you go to...
Tanya?
We're scrolling through Tanya's phone right now.
Tanya, we're on the radio. you might want to just de-scroll, put your phone down, and you can show me during the song.
Okay.
Do you remember there was a time where there was only movies about meteors? There was like Deep Impact, Armageddon.
They were the days.
Terrifying.
2020, all these things,
Yes, I do. And I also remember Tanya building bunkers. It was terrifying, wasn't it, mate?
It is terrifying. It is. It's the annual Orionids meteor shower event.
Yeah, perfect. Good.
That's not big. One phone call, so nobody saw it.
Never expected one. Never for half a second did I expect one.
Do you know, I've got an
Tanya.
Someone who knows stuff about space.
Why did you come to work today?
No.
I just want to know what it was that made you think, in the current state you're in, that you could go to a radio show. Okay? I'm your husband and I love you dearly. And what we're going to do now, right, is I'm Ronnie.
Okay, yes, Stevie.
Play a song.
Okay.
What? Astrophysicist friend.
That's lovely. Talk to you in a minute. Santa Michael!
Looking dapper as always.
Tanya.
What?
You're not allowed yet. You haven't had a coffee. Sorry, okay, Dave. Excuse us.
I want to keep hearing what Tanya has to say.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Steve. Tanya, hello.
Hello.
Well, there's been a lot of talk lately about whether the supercars will ever come back to Newcastle. Of course, COVID killed this year's event, and officials are weighing up whether to include the Newcastle 500 on next year's calendar. We're hearing from the Lord Mayor this morning, who is remaining optimistic. Nuwatali Nelms says as long as COVID numbers remain low, she can't see why the race wouldn't be back. There's still a 5-year deal, which isn't finished yet. So restrictions, as they continue to ease, there should be no reason why we'd miss out next year. There's no way they'd run the race here without crowds. It's just not worth it financially. And even letting in a limited number of people isn't the answer. It's still not viable. So hopefully we'll find out in the next few weeks. But I think we'll get it back.
But the problem with it, and as we're even seeing if we use Sweden at the moment, the problem with it, it's so unpredictable, you can't make plans because it could pop.
Mm.
Until we find a vaccine, and I'm all about living with it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, those huge events. I can't see how they can go ahead without a vaccine.
I'd love it to, and I'm all for it, but... the unpredictability.
I know, but then do you not plan?
I know.
Look ahead and look, if they have to cancel, they cancel it again. But
okay, so you're saying the idea being that they'll plan for it, and if they have to pull the pin, they will.
I'm thinking they might do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's fair enough.
Glass half full approach, I think,
yeah.
Not unlike EP Nikki's wedding.
Oh, that's a sore point today. Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, don't go there.
Moving on. And actually,
I missed that meeting.
Speaking of supercars, a heads up for anyone who went to the Bathurst 1000 last weekend. They're being urged to monitor for any COVID symptoms after remnants of the virus were found in raw sewage in the area. An urgent investigation is now underway. It could have come from a visitor, someone who worked there, or even just a resident. They're not sure, but it's certainly a coincidence that it popped up during the city's biggest weekend. So,
Also interesting, too, because it reminded me when I heard it of the Kenny movie.
Yeah.
It's like he found it.
Isn't it interesting that you go through university and you're obviously highly intelligent And then you end up with some form of science degree, and that's your job.
Yeah.
You go and collect sewage to be tested in a lab.
Play around with it. And
ew!
Look at it.
I still think it's funny. You think people that went to uni are intelligent. There's a couple in the studio here, mate, that have got degrees, don't you?
We are very smart.
Now, as we know, it's grand final weekend. Melbourne is still hurting. They won't be hosting the AFL grand final, but authorities are worried that won't stop people from holding big parties like what they normally do. So because the city's essentially still in lockdown, police will be using drones to hover over backyards looking for any large barbecue gatherings that might be taking place. Now, Geelong and Richmond are playing in the grand final. No surprise, the areas they'll be focusing on are Geelong and Richmond. So, yeah, forget.
And a person that went to uni figured that out.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, forget any backyard shindigs that they'll be looking from the sky.
Have one at St Kilda if they're concentrating on those events.
Little sneaky St Kilda one.
Yeah.
And keen to hear what you make of this one. Australia Post is under fire for spending almost $1 million taxpayer dollars on indoor plants. It's forked out $900,000 in 2 years to green up its offices, so they're vibrant and innovative spaces. AusPost says the plans lift the spirits of staff, improve indoor air quality. Mind you, a lot of the staff have been working from home. $1,100 a day they're spending on plants, your taxpayer dollars.
No, sorry.
Having
that's
recently,
just not on.
Having recently purchased a fake plant.
Yeah.
Are these fake or real?
Oh, yeah, real plants.
Real ones.
Okay. All right, we'll see if they're fake. It's a long-term investment. If they're real, they'll be dead by Tuesday.
Yeah.
Now, I've got an indoor plant story for you. Remember a few years ago we had a work Christmas competition here. We had to decorate parts of the station.
Did Aussie Christmas.
We did an Aussie Christmas theme in the newsroom.
Well, yours was terrible and you won, didn't you?
No, we didn't win, but anyhow, that's beside the point. But I bought a gum tree and had it in a pot plant. I thought, that's perfect. You have that as the Christmas tree. Well, we came back from holidays and the gum tree was dead. So it didn't really lift spirits.
It actually brought the team down.
That's a terrible story.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so indoor plants.
It sounds like a tenure ending.
It does.
And it died.
A good story. So fraught with danger, indoor plants. Yeah. Be very careful. Which don't use a gum tree as an indoor plant.
Do you know what? Speaking of indoor plants, the best investment you can get if you've got indoor plants, and I've got 1,000 of them now.
Yep.
You haven't seen inside my house for a while.
Well, you've got that many, like we can't see Michael anymore.
It is. It's like a jungle because I'm all about the air quality now. I've been reading about it.
Good.
But I bought one of these thermometer things. It's a stick. You shove it into the soil because I went to the nursery and they went, why are they all brown and dying?
Mm.
They go, you're overwatering.
Yeah. Overwatering.
Wow. Yeah. So this thing, it's so simple an idiot can read it.
I bet you Michael's afraid of that thermometer.
He is. He is. Sorry, she is. So it literally says, too moist, perfect, too dry.
You couldn't lend me that thermometer for the weekend, could you?
Step in. But anyway, if you follow the thermometer, perfect indoor plants.
Okie dokie.
Yes.
And it costs $20.
If you do hear overwatering a lot, don't you?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You are not borrowing it, by the way.
That gum tree would have liked that thermometer, I think.
Yeah.
It would have lived to tell another tale.
Yep.
Anyway.
Thanks, Dave.
Now you've put a visual.
Yeah. I haven't said a thing. I'm just leaving it.
Anyway.
An idiot could read that one, though. There's only three.
An idiot can read it. That's why my plants are alive.
Hey, well done, idiot.
Russell's 102.9 Triple M. This is Tanya and Steve. We've got a bunch of iPhone 12s, the brand new iPhone 12 to give away. If you'd like to win one, all you got to do is beat your kid in a quiz. So far, we've had a couple of 14 and 15-year-olds beating their mums and dads for that phone. If you'd like to play our iGeneration game, all you got to do is register at triplem.com.au. We'll play after 8.
Hey, nice NRL clip. I've whacked it on my Facebook page that went up yesterday, and I think it's a really good idea. It was showing everyone, if you're not quite, haven't got a team in the final, watch this. And it just showed all winning tries of grand finals over the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
And it did. It pumped you up like, that's why we love the game.
Yeah.
And it gave you that excitement.
Yeah.
Including Mark Guy's length of the field run to offload to his captain to win the 91. He might argue it was length of the field, but I'm on his side.
Well, speaking of which, we have MG, Triple M's MG.
Yep.
Morning.
Good morning, Tan. Hi, Stevie. How are we, guys?
Very well.
Length of the field, MG.
Oh, you are my man. You know what? After nearly 30 years, it's in the car park I started from.
But I mean, that wonderful moment when you did get away to Royal and he scored and the captain scored, and that was that Penrith Grand Final.
91. Tell us, because when you said nearly 30 years, that is frightening.
It is. Oh, tell me about it. I was just listening to your promo then on the iPhone 12, and I've got five kids I might go up against and try and get myself one of them things. It is. The only time that I really miss playing rugby league is around this time of year, because I know how special it feels. I know that I've lost the grand final and the sorrow that comes with that, but I've also had the jubilation of winning one. So these guys who go into the game on Sunday, obviously the Melbourne Storm are a lot more experience when it comes to big-time games, but I think the youthful exuberance of this Penrith team might get them through.
What do they do with you old boys? What involvement will you have for this grand final, as you say? They're so young and they're so wonderful. Newcastle is definitely behind Penrith. We've decided that.
Well, we're very similar, aren't we? We're both satellite cities. We're both, out of sight, out of mind type thing until we get the rugby league where we kick ass. So, with the old boys, I'll actually be working on the game on Sunday. I'm on air from about 5 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night, so I'll be calling the game with another ex-Penrith player, Ryan Girdler, and Wendell Saylor, and so we'll have a front row seat. But for the other old guys, I think they just pop them in a bar and say, "Drink as much as you can and cheer."
Yeah, and I'm sure Mark would back me when I say you don't want to be in a bar with the 91 grand final Penrith side.
No way.
No. Trust me, you don't.
Hey, with every grand final, MG, stories are great, and there's no better father and son story with this one, though, is there?
Well, Stevie, no, because the last time Penrith won the comp was 2003, and they had a father and son in Martin and John Link. So the irony is there for everybody to see with Nathan and Ivan Cleary. And I think Nathan might be smarting a little bit after missing out on the Dally M Gong, which I think everybody thought he had wrapped up. And now that he's missed out on that, I think he might express himself a bit on Sunday and lead his team to victory.
What did you think? Because you are a commentator as well as everything else. What did you think of that bungle, MG, and having poor old Nathan up there knowing, and Ivan knew too, that his son was going to miss out? What did you make of it all?
Well, Ken, I'm a judge as well. I'm a Dally M judge, and I've got the honour of doing that. And I think that there's, I was on air at about 6:15 last Tuesday when the awards were on, and I started getting text messages from mates saying Jack Whiten won it. I said, "What? Hasn't even been on yet?" And I was disappointed, to say the least. I think the way it got leaked, there needs to be an overhaul of exactly what went down, because for the most prestigious award in our game, we've got to do better. We've got to do better than that.
Yes.
We've got to do better. And I'm not for 1 minute am I begrudging Jack Whiten. I think he had a fantastic season for the Raiders. But when you win 17 games in a row and you're breaking all types of records, and you're the main man, in your team, I think you deserve to be the best player in the NRL.
Yeah.
Hey, on another note, MG, this just came through and passed to us. Apparently, the official referee for Sunday is Cameron Smith.
No, he's the pocket ref. They bring back the ref. They've made another rule change. We're having two referees on Sunday, and Cameron Smith's the pocket ref. So
there you go.
Pipe and smoke it.
Mate, as a commentator and a player, do you see what everyone else sees, that he can manipulate refs?
Oh, look, there's no doubt, and I think that comes. I think that comes with over 420 games of wisdom. You'd be mad not to. And I think he's got a presence. He's got an aura when he plays. Look, in all sincerity, I know we've seen some fantastic rugby league players over the year. Andrew Johns has been one of them. Wally Lewis, another.
Yep.
I don't think I've seen better than Cameron Smith. Yeah. At nearly 40 years of age, he did a tackle in the prelim against Nick Kotrick against Canberra that not many people would do. And if any young kids are watching that game and they want to know what the 1%ers mean, that's a 1%er. When you shouldn't be there, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the man to stop from Penrith on Sunday. If they can stop his management of the game, well, they'll go a long way to winning the contest.
All right, MG, it was so good to catch up. We will hear you right here on Triple M Newcastle with the grand final call on Sunday. Have a great one.
Thank you. So good to talk to you. Have a great weekend and go the Panthers.
Yes.
Go
the Panthers. Get your claws out. See ya.
Yeah, where's that rah? Come on, rise.
I've lost my rah.
Meow.
It's Daniel and Steve. See ya.
That's right, folks. This is a segment where us boys, whose folks are dumb where we come from, get to learn from the girls.
Yeah, now look, this is something that I don't think too many fellas would go through.
Mm-hmm.
We women will go through it at least once in our lifetime, Nick. Nick doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. Neither do I. I'm intrigued.
I'm talking about The Change.
Oh, no. The Goatee. Oh, God.
The Change. Oh, no. What do you think of when I say The Change?
That you're going to grow a goatee soon. And it's a menopause.
Wrong.
Oh.
I'm talking about
that's wrong. Okay.
The most devastating day in a woman's life when she is told, I'm sorry, usually by someone immaculate behind a David Jones makeup counter, I'm sorry, they no longer make your foundation.
Oh,
yes.
No.
That happened to me yesterday, Nick.
Have they finished the line?
It's gone.
No.
Forever.
Right,
no. Yes.
Yes, Steve.
This is worse than having a goatee.
I'm sorry, Steve. This is
must be
much
a big
worse.
Deal. Why not just get a different type?
Oh,
yeah.
What?
Just get...
Okay. Let me just bring you up to speed here. Your favourite beer, Steve, Kilkenny.
Yes.
What if I told you you can no longer, ever, again, in your entire life, drink a can of Kilkenny because they don't make it anymore?
Well, then I'd have to just tie a brick to my ankles and jump in a river.
There you go.
Okay, it's that big of a deal.
It
okay,
is a now massive deal.
You've painted a good picture now.
It's true. That's like saying to you about, what if they don't make Tun Light anymore, Risey?
Nick, have you ever been...
Yes.
Have you ever been through The Change?
Hasn't happened to me. Happened to my mum with a lip gloss that she used. A stay-on one. She loved it. We'd get it for her every Christmas. It actually affected our whole family. We had no gift to give her.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, Tanya. You are...
I know.
You're stuffed. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure if we're learning something, guys, but I'm enjoying it.
Same.
I'm enjoying the passion.
I'm showing
passionate.
You what we go through. This is stuff we don't usually tell you about. We keep this to ourselves and
we
soldier on.
Well, you don't usually tell us about it because you know we don't care. But I'm just seeing this and going, wow.
Yeah.
So when you've come out like with the big rosy red cheeks.
Well, after...
You're using a new foundation.
After my makeup consultant consoled me and we had a bit of a cry together and she suggested some options.
Do you have a makeup consultant, Nikki?
I don't, but I'd love one.
I don't either.
No, I don't.
Just the lady at the store.
Yeah,
can I ask another guy question?
Yeah.
Just because they wear a white coat and have a clipboard, are they really professional?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, well, good question.
That's what we believe.
Okay.
And I don't know. There's something about a woman in a white coat with immaculate makeup. They are experts.
Yeah.
So if I just went in and put a white coat on and a clipboard, would you come and sit for a makeup duel with me?
Sadly, probably, yeah.
It's that easy.
It is that easy.
That's all we have to do. Yep. I don't care what shop it is. Let's just open one and wear white coats.
And the last time I saw Steve in makeup with it for a video that you guys filmed, it was pretty. You looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to brag, but I looked hot.
Anyway, so
okay,
ladies,
that is good for us guys to know.
Yeah, that's the only change I know about. What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing.
I'm missing my favourite radio cereal. Can we have a look inside? The Odd Couple, the Carrington, with Felix, the one who's immaculate, and Oscar, the slovenly one, played by Steve.
That would be me.
Hello, Oscar.
And you and your flatmate, Felix, what's going on? Because you haven't given us an update this week.
No.
Well, it's hard to explain, Tanya, because I feel that my flatmate's taking over my life.
Right. Okay, he's listening, by the way, but anyway.
No, because...
What's he doing?
Well, I bought a new clock and I showed you.
Yes, I love the clock. Yeah. It's in prime position as you walk down the hallway. Don't know what you're going to do with your Christmas tree because that's the Christmas tree spot. But anyway, it's a beautiful position.
We'll talk about that another day.
She's right.
I am right.
And now you're thinking about where you're going to put your Christmas tree, aren't you?
So, okay, I decided I'd just go for a bit of a walk.
Yeah?
I've gone for a walk with Baxter, done the thing. Got a text, where are you? Because obviously I was late for dinner.
Of course, because he likes to make Marley Spoon for dinner for the two of you.
Then I came in, clock's been shifted.
What? What?
Clock's been shifted.
What, from...
Didn't like where I put it.
No. You can't shift a man's clock.
If there's anyone listening to the radio from a distance...
I said clock.
Yeah, clock with an L.
So,
where did he move it from? Like a big move or just a tiny move?
He thought it'd look better on another wall.
Okay.
And I get what his theory was. It was like to show me rather than just suggest it, to show me.
Yep.
But the man's touching my clock.
You do not. What did I say? Don't touch another man's clock.
Oh, thank you, Tanya.
It's all right.
I think it sounds better coming from a woman.
It does.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I was yelling it a few times last night and realised the names might be thinking something going on. Keep your hands off my clock, I said.
So how, well, why, you can't, but like, where did he get the authority or where did he
He's
get the backbone?
He's clock-blocking you, Steve.
Thank you, Risey. And I'm glad. I wasn't sure how this would go. I'm glad you're on board with me.
Totally.
I will put it back to where you saw me put it.
Yeah, in the hallway.
Yep.
We
just
can deal
with a little sign, hands off my clock.
Yep. We can deal with the Christmas tree in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Definitely. All right.
Nice clock, though, isn't it?
It's gorgeous.
How big's my clock?
It is. It's an oversized clock.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's one of the big ones that needs a big blank brick wall, which you do have.
Yes.
So perfectly positioned. Well done, you.
Thank you. Okay.
Felix.
Yes.
Hands off.
Hands off.
You got your own.
That's right. He has. I've got one. Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he wears a watch. Yeah.
All right.
No, thank you.
Sorted.
There you
definitely.
Go.
Good to know.
Never.
Another insight.
Another man's clock. Simple as that.
Never. Let's look at the clock now. It's 7:58. We'll
I
go
feel
to the news
relieved.
Next.
That's off my chest.
Good.
Good. It's Tanya and Steve. Triple M.
It's Tanya and Steve's Throwback Thursday.
We realised something yesterday that both Tanya and I have the exact same childhood accident.
Mm-hmm.
Different result, but same accident.
Yeah. And that's what we want to talk to you about today on Throwback. If you had a childhood accident, we want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 49421029.
Both ours involved brakes on a pushy.
The old back pedal brake, of which that was the only push bike I had when I was a kid.
Same.
And like yours, mine snapped on the highway at Raymond Terrace, and I smashed into what was then an LJ Hooker sign. It was kind of on the corner there, and it nearly took my head off. And it was an Easter long weekend, and there were people on the highway at Raymond Terrace stopping to try and help. I ended up in hospital with so many stitches. I think it was about 17 or 18 stitches in my face.
See, my landing wasn't as harsh as Tanya's.
Oh.
Mine was, though, on a very, very steep driveway, like top of a hill driveway.
Yep.
Halfway down, chain snapped, over a jump, and then straight into back fence. But it was a chook wire fence.
Right.
So through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't stop you, no.
But I didn't, I sprained a foot. Nothing like your injury.
Mm. Well,
I just remember that fear when the brakes went. You knew.
Well, the thing about
you're
my
gone.
Brakes going, when you go through Raymond Terrace, not the new road, but the old Pacific Highway, Roslyn Park Estate is right next door to the where the turn off to Richardson Road is. Mm. It's a really steep hill, so the chain snapped at the top of the hill.
Yeah, right.
And I'm eight, and I'm going down. So I knew in my brain.
I was
knew
eight.
What was going to happen.
Well, it was either turn into the traffic, the Easter traffic, which was banked up on the highway, or turn onto the grass. I chose the grass, didn't realise about the sign, so the sign knocked me out. And when I woke up, literally could put my hand up under my jaw into my face.
Wow.
That's how bad it was. It was awful.
Yeah. No, I got straight back on and did it again. I remember the people in the neighbourhood yelling, "Hey, Evel Knievel!" I mean, pure luck I didn't.
Yeah.
You got, knocked around.
Big
That's
time.
Smashed. All right, we've got Marty who's giving us a buzz.
Hey, Marty.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, Marty. What's your childhood injury?
I broke my femur when I was 8 years old at Luna Park.
Broke your femur
How?
At Luna Park?
You know the slippery slides?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother was in front of me, and when we hit the bottom, he pulled me, and I just landed and broke my femur.
Oh, what? That would have been awful. You ruined everybody's day, Marty. Had to leave and go to the hospital.
Selfish little brat.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
See, we just brought back memories of his parents then.
Yeah.
I bet you would have been in hospital for a while with a broken femur.
No, they paid a lot of money to get in. They just kept saying to Marty all day, "You'll be right, mate."
Were you in hospital?
No, I didn't. It was about 7 o'clock at night, and my brother and his girlfriend stayed there for 3 hours and left me in the car.
There you go. There you go. Told you we brought back some dark memories.
Don't you love siblings?
Why, well, if there's an injury at, any fun park that you've had to pay to get into, we'll keep going.
Tiff, what did you do when you were a kid?
Hello, Tiffany.
Hello, Tiffany.
Hi.
What'd you do, mate?
I fell over at school and chipped a bone in my knee, and up until about 4 years ago when I had surgery, I had the tendon ripped off.
Ooh, oh, wow.
So for close to 20 years, I didn't have the tendon attached in the front of my knee.
Oh,
wow.
Painful.
And did you have pain and or just no idea?
No, I had pain. I didn't ever feel like there was blood flowing through my knees when it got really cold.
Oh, God. Jeez. Okay. All good now?
Yeah, since the surgery, I've had no issues.
Nah, to be honest, though, Chief, I bet you walk silly.
I did. I really did.
I knew it.
Thanks, Chief.
Wobbly walk.
Mark's at Nelson Bay. What's your childhood injury?
Oh, mate, look, I still laugh about this now, 38 years later. My next-door neighbour, when we were little, we used to just jump over each other's fence to go and play in each other's backyards with each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was jumping. We had one of those sort of six-foot paling fences, and we were climbing over. And as he stood on the crossbeam and went to jump over, the cuff of his, you know, circa 1970s bell-bottom jeans went over the top of the paling. And so when he's jumped...
He's going straight on his face.
Now, he's just going like a pendulum and just like...
Yes.
And he smashed into the fence and he was like trapped there. My man had to come out trying. I can't stop laughing.
This is officially the call of the week, Mark.
Oh, mate, it was so funny. It was so funny.
Are you guys still mates, Mark?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We are still the best of friends, mate.
Mark, can you promise that Tanya and I could come to your place one night where you both relive that moment just so we can enjoy it?
Yes, absolutely, mate. Yes, guaranteed.
Because I tell you what, we'll share with you, because Tanya and I will relive me knocking her fence down story.
Oh, my God.
It's on the same level.
So true. Mark, how many times do you remind him of this story? How often does it come up a year?
This one and the one where he was tap dancing on the barbecue and fell off comes up about five or six times a year, I reckon.
Mark, what's his name?
Jason Purdy's his name.
Jace. Jace, you're a ledge.
We love it. Thank you, Mark.
He's a clumsy idiot, but he's a best mate.
Good on you, Mark. Thanks for calling us.
Hey.
Oh, is that it? That you can't top
yeah,
that.
No, that's amazing.
That's as many times as the fence story comes up. I'd like to put
it out. Yeah.
Usually when Michael's around.
It's Tanya and Steve. Sorry we couldn't get to the rest of the calls. Very, very funny stuff.